This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Well, good morning. See, you all made it. Thanksgiving and the big game last night. Glad you're all here. So I venture to say that many of us here worry about the future. Given some recent events, the news, the fractured nation, the war-torn Middle East, inflation, the climate, it's no wonder that we do. Anxiety and depression seem to be soaring among all generations and all age groups. We worry about what will happen tomorrow, next month, next year. I do know this. How we perceive our future will definitely affect how we choose to live out our present. So what lens do you see your future through? Is it bleak or is it bright? Are things sliding into disaster and going from bad to worse? Or do you see the future as holding promise? Is the glass half empty or half full? Although I like to believe that nothing is beyond us if we only pull together, I have to admit that we do live in uncertain times. If you sit with any number of young adults, those about the age of my own daughter, and talk about what's on their minds, we do this a lot, you would likely feel the weight of their anxiety and their frustration about their futures. Divisive politics, global climate threats, the economy, graduation, finding a job. And if you sit and talk to any one of the elder populations, folks my age, I include myself in there, I will say, in speaking to my daughter yesterday, I found myself saying, well, back in my days, I officially became my mother. But if you speak with folks my age and even older, you would hear the weight of their anxiety as well. Isolation, divisive politics, a changing world, the traditions and nostalgia of their past being lost. So the reality is we're all weighed down with this dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life. We are fainting from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Perhaps the powers of heavens are shaking. This was true 2,000 years ago as it is today. The gospel appointed for this, the first Sunday in Advent, reminds us of this when Jesus speaks with an apocalyptic voice, when he says that there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the seas and the waves. This passage is profoundly relevant, profoundly timely. Not because it proves Jesus' ability to point to our future, but because from it and through it, we hear the truth of our human brokenness. Advent is a period of waiting in the darkness. It is a season in which we are caught between the joyful expectation of what is to come and the harsh realities of our present condition, while we wait for the promise to be fulfilled. This is what Jeremiah speaks of in our reading for today. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live safe in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. So although we wait in darkness, Advent is a season grounded in hope and in truth, a truth that chooses hope over fear, that believes in divine righteousness instead of self-justification, that knows that God is our justice, because God shows us the way of righteousness is not for the sake of self, but for the sake of the other. As Christians and as followers of Christ, We are to choose that hope and choose to see promise. No matter how jittery we may feel at bad times and uncertain times, we are called to hope and to keep watch. Hope is our business, after all. We are a resurrection people. This hope is not a matter of ignoring our grim realities. It's not pretending that every cloud has a silver lining. It is our job to look honestly at life, to recognize evil when we see it, and to name it openly, yet also to see our coming Lord everywhere at work, even in the places of utter cruelty and chaos. And we are supposed to be part of that work. We are called to see a God who dares to redeem even the bleakest of circumstances, because our God, the one who chose to die on that cross, brings light out of darkness and growth out of decay. The Lord creates love where none previously seemed to exist. And from the very early days, Christians have held to the belief that Jesus Christ comes again and again and again. He comes again to every generation in judgment and in mercy. He comes again at the end of time, a final return when he will bring to consummation everything he started in that little town of Bethlehem. He is the one true end, the one true Lord. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and here we are again, this Advent, waiting again for hope. Not chaos, hate, injustice, not loneliness, not anxiety, not sadness. None of these things will rule, because Christ alone is the end. The future will arrive with the glory of Christ who comes again. To believe in the Christ who comes again is to live with hope. This we are commanded to do. We are told to stay watchful and alert, to remain hopeful. Hope is our command from God. Hope is obedience to God. Hope is living proactively, creatively, lovingly, self-sacrificially, in spite of all the barriers we may encounter or the darkest clouds that may loom on our horizon. Hope is being committed to being positive in an otherwise negative world and filling others with that same promise in a world increasingly driven by distrust and fear. And so I want to leave you with this short little story. It's sweet. It's about hope. It's about four candles, not these four candles. I did not write it, but I wanted to share with it. And the 9 o'clockers really liked it, so I hope you do too. The four candles burned slowly. They shone so softly you could hear them speak. The first candle said, "I am peace, but these days nobody wants to keep me lit." Then peace's flame slowly diminished and went out completely. The second candle said, "I am faith, but these days people believe they no longer need me." Then faith flame slowly diminished and went out completely. Sadly, the third candle spoke, "I am love, and I haven't the strength to stay lit any longer. People put me aside and don't understand my importance. Sometimes they even forget to love those who are nearest to them." And waiting no longer, love went out completely. Just then a child entered the room and saw the three candles no longer burning. The child asked softly, "Why are you not burning? You are supposed to stay lit forever and ever." Saying this, the child began to cry. Then the fourth candle spoke gently to the little boy, "Don't be afraid, for I am hope. And while I still burn, we can relight the other candles." With shining eyes, the boy took the candle of hope and lit the other three candles. And so we never let the flame of hope go out. With hope in our lives, peace, faith, and love may shine brightly once again. This season that we begin today, the season of Advent, has a presence that calls us to look deeper. It whispers urgently to us to keep awake. It is an urgent call, a call of longing, but also a call of promise that there is hope. The night is long, but morning is coming. So let us enter this Advent in hope. Let us see visions of love and peace and of justice. Let us affirm with humility, with joy, with faith, and with courage, Jesus Christ, who is our hope, our life, and our salvation. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.